So the questions are these. How can we really activate the best of the private sector to meet the challenges of the real world? Is there a way to accelerate my career that doesn't involve boring online or classroom courses? And can I really impact people in the developing world with the skills that I have? Can I finally feel proud of what I know? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Philippa White, and this is TAI Unearthed. Keep listening, and you can follow us on our journey as we show you how we're connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Hello, everyone. Philippa White here, and welcome to episode 26 of TAI Unearthed. I am so looking forward to speaking with Carly Avener today, Managing Director of Leo Burnett London. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Philippa.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was honored to be invited to the Leo Burnett London virtual agency meeting. There we heard Charlie Rudd, who's the CEO, talk about what a post-COVID future looks like. And he talked about how it will reward clarity, but punish certainty, and that it's important to have direction and vision, but that you must remain flexible and open to change. Why? Because we're living in a VUCA world. So what's that, you ask? It's volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. So it then felt quite fitting to then be invited to present TAI to the agency and call for participants to get involved in the virtual Team TAI program. So it's super exciting because we now have selected six professionals at the agency to take part, and we kick everything off on Monday. It's very exciting. So today, Carly and I will be talking about leadership, about purpose, their involvement with TAI, and adapting to a VUCA world. So I think before we get into all of that, Carly, it would just be really lovely if you could just bring to life your background, where you've worked, what gets you excited about what you do.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So I started my career back in 2003, many moons ago, on the grad scheme at McCann Erickson in London. I was working on American Airlines, Microsoft, and getting some brilliant training in the process. And I was actually so grateful to get that job. I applied for hundreds of jobs, hundreds of graduate jobs, and I got rejection after rejection. I got rejected by every single one. And McCann Erickson was the one place that I actually even got an interview. So I had a good conversion rate from interview to final job, not so good conversion rate from application. But anyway, so I was at McCann Erickson for a couple of years. I then left and joined BBH, where I spent 13 years. Wow. And I started my career in account management. And then after a while, I got a bit burnt out in account management, really. Just sort of lots of conflict with clients, which was beginning to wear me down. And I had an opportunity to move into the new business department, which I loved, actually. I found it really interesting and exciting, dynamic part of the agency. And also it was a chance to kind of almost act out the job that a lot of my clients have been doing. You know, we were the sort of sales and marketing department for the agency, so thinking about the BBH brand as well as our clients' brands. So I was in new business at BBH for a while. And then my last role there was helping them to set up and launch their social media division. So as at a time when social media was becoming more and more important to clients and their businesses, we set up a sort of specialist division to create work for social platforms.
Wow.
So that was my time at BBH. In that time, I had a baby, went off on maternity leave, and then I joined Leo Burnett about 18 months ago, so as managing director.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, just I worked at BBH as well, and I worked at Leo Burnett, so I feel a lot of a lot of connection to your story. And actually, I remember I also, God, when it was back in the day when it was sort of applying for various different jobs. And I also tried to get into the grad scheme, didn't manage it. I did get an interview with TBWA. I think it was one of the only ones. And I made it sort of to the final rounds where they sort of take you off into breakout rooms. And anyway, I didn't get that one, but I did end up getting I ended up replacing a grad at Darcy, which ended up getting my foothold into Darcy, which then turned into Leo Burnett, which then I afterwards worked at BBH. So yes, I relate to that moment for sure. Tell me, what gets you excited about what you do?
The thing that I love, which I've always loved about what I do, and which is why I wanted to get into the industry in the first place, is advertising and marketing is for me where sort of creativity and commerce kind of come together. And that's what I think that's quite a unique thing. And that's what I really love about what we do, is using creativity to fuel growth for our clients, for their businesses, for their people. But doing that in a really exciting, creative, unexpected way. That's what I love. And that's what I've always loved. And a big part of that is working with creative people. I find them just fascinating and brilliant and inspiring, and you know, that fuels my creativity as well. So and that I think is something really special that this industry has, that we need to really protect and nurture as much as we can.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly the reason why I absolutely adore working in advertising. Now, I recently read an interview with you where you talk about human brands and how brands are dialing up their role in society. And, you know, as we know, post-COVID, during COVID, even pre-COVID, you know, this is definitely, a movement, I guess, that isn't going away. Perhaps things have even changed post-COVID. But I'm just super keen to know from you, who's been working in the industry for so long, can you bring this to life for us?
I mean, I think brands have such an important role in society, especially in this kind of uncertain, volatile world that we're living in, where, frankly, you know, lots of our governments don't always provide that leadership and that direction, and make the decisions that people want them to make. And I think, therefore, people look to other places for that leadership and that direction. And I think brands have the scale to do that, and they have the platform to do that. And I think people do look to them to lead the way when it comes to doing the right thing for the planet, or for equality and diversity, to fight racism. I think that people do look to those places for that. And I think that's increased a lot recently. And it's not enough to just sell products. Brands have to understand the power that they have in society and use that power for good. And I think that's what being a human brand is all about.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more about the power of the private sector, for sure. I mean, obviously, Leo Burnett works with so many different brands. I just wonder, can you bring this to life, and just to provide the listeners with a bit of an example from your experience, just what this looks like?
That's a good question. Let me just have a think about that. You might have to edit this bit out.
Yeah, it's fine. I will edit this bit out, but just so you know, in the article, to sort of help jog your memory. So let me just, leadership from brands. Yep. Showing up
somebody. McDonald's
and the pandemic. Yeah. So you said the latter idea of the heart of the agency's work is McDonald's. They advised the brand simply to be what you've always been, but louder and better, because people want that right now. At a time when people are looking to cornerstone brands for reassurance, McDonald's, in a way, has been more of a bellwether for people, she says. Mm. And we saw this come out of the COVID diaries than the government. It's all about dialing up your role in society. Authenticity was key to really understand the consumer you were selling to, and to recognize the role that they had to play within society.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'll just coming back now. Okay, cool. Go.
Yeah. So I think, a good example is, as we lived through the pandemic last year, Obviously, there was lots of uncertainty, lots of mixed messages and confusion coming out, especially from the government. And, you know, we found that for some of our clients, their behaviour and their action was more significant for people than what was coming out from the government. So, for example, McDonald's is one of our big clients, and people were looking to them to know what was going on. So, you know, when McDonald's closed, it was seen as a symbol of, you know, how serious the situation was that even McDonald's had closed. Equally, when they opened, everyone felt like, well, things must be okay now because McDonald's have opened and we trust McDonald's. And I think trust plays a big part in all of this. Consumers do put a lot of trust in brands, and I think the most successful brands are the brands that really build trust with their audience and with their customer, because they behave in the right way, they take their customers seriously, they understand the lives of their customers, and they behave in really responsible ways. And we certainly saw that through the pandemic with some of our, you know, clients like McDonald's and Kellogg's and Premier Inn. Where people really sort of took their actions and their behaviour as a signal of what was going on in the wider society.
Yeah, it's funny actually, because when I'm talking about Thai and sort of presentations, or if I'm asked to speak, or, you know, on info sessions when I'm talking to people about it, but one big part of Thai is anyone who's listening, who's sort of following our journey. I mean, I really couldn't stress enough the power of the private sector. And actually, it is up to the private sector, I think, to be a big driver in making the world a better place, because we have the reach and we have the money and the financial, you know, the financial resources and the human resources. And unfortunately, the government just can't do that. We don't trust it. It's all over the place. The decisions are all over the place. Unfortunately, NGOs don't have the financial resources and the human resources to have the scale of impact. But these brands, the key really, and I couldn't agree more, they just need to understand, one, that power, two, being responsible, and then helping to direct society in the right direction. And the opportunity is huge. So
absolutely. And we're seeing that, you know, when we look at diversity, which is a, you know, a big you know, topic within marketing at the moment. And, you know, brands do need to represent everyone in society. And we've seen with our own clients that when they do that, and when they do that in a sort of respectful and sensitive way, and people trust the brand more because they're seeing their real world reflected back at them. Yeah. And also, not even just their real world, but actually brands can push on those, not those stereotypes, but they can undo those stereotypes, and they can present a much more progressive view of society, the society that we're all striving for. So I think they have a really important part to play in all of that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, stating the obvious, COVID has certainly shaken things up in a few ways. Do you think COVID has changed organizational culture? And if it has, you know, how is it changing from your point of view?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think, you know, one of the things that we were really worried about was, you know, during the pandemic, oh no, how are we going to retain our culture, because we're not together and we're not seeing each other. But I think what we learned quite quickly is you don't need a building and you don't need to be together physically to sort of protect and nurture and grow your culture, because your culture really, for me, is about how you do things and how you treat each other and how you treat people and how you look after each other. So in a way, you know, just having that laser focus on how do we treat each other and how do we look after each other was the only thing that changed, because our culture still existed. We still did things a certain way, and we really just took that extra time and care to make sure that people were feeling that without necessarily being able to see us. So lots of communication, way more communication than we'd ever had with each other before. lots more, I guess, visible expressions of our gesture and just take, more visible expressions of our culture. So just really taking the time to signify things that were important to us and things that were an expression of how we wanted to behave. So, for example, making sure that we were really looking after each other's mental health. I think we've just kind of taken that for granted before, because a lot of that can happen just by being around each other physically in the agency. But when you can't be together physically, you have to sort of make that extra effort to reach out to people. So we set up a well-being buddy system. So
oh,
we made
nice.
Sure, yeah, we made sure that everyone in the agency had a well-being buddy.
Oh, wow. I love that idea.
Which was brilliant, actually, because it forced people to talk to each other, not in a sort of aggressively forceful way, but it gave people a reason to talk to each other about something that wasn't work. Actually, people that may not have spoken to each other for ages because they don't necessarily work in the same team. And it gave people permission to ask, are you okay? Like, are you really okay? And if not, is there anything I can do to help? Or do you want to bounce some stuff off me? And, you know, I'm really proud that we put that together, because I think people really needed it and wanted it and really appreciated it. And for me, that is, you know, a real expression of the Leo Burnett culture. That's just one example.
Yeah, beautiful. Really like that. That's great. Mm. I'm interested to know if what you were looking for in leaders before COVID, if that's still what you're looking for now. You know, has anything changed from that point of view? And if so, yeah, you know, what characteristics are you looking for? And I guess this question just came about because obviously I sat in on the agency meeting, and actually just as a really quick one, based on the last comment that you just made about the agency culture, I have to say, sitting in on that virtual agency meeting, I had that feeling of real warmth. There was a really amazing energy. There was jokes, people making fun of each other. You're sitting there. You know, it just felt as if actually you were sitting in the agency, which is really nice. It was and Charlie making jokes and Josh just being, it was really nice. So actually that I did feel that. I definitely felt that. But
oh, that's great. That's really great to hear. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, as leaders of the business, we all share the same values. And I think authenticity being one of them, you know, we all turn up to work truly as ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm any different at home than I am at work. And I don't think any of the rest of us are either. So authenticity is definitely a hallmark of Leo Burnett people and leaders and Leo Burnett culture. And that's definitely something that I look for. And I think in terms of other characteristics, I think the leaders that have risen to the top are the ones who are flexible and agile and adaptable and entrepreneurial. And those are definitely things I've always looked for. But I think I've really understood the importance of those things in the world that we've lived in. You know, the people that have successfully led our clients through COVID are the ones that have been able to think out of the box and have understood that the way you've always done things pre-COVID cannot be the same as the way you do things now post-COVID, because different behaviours need to change in order to get to the same outcome. And I think there are lots of people that have grown and developed their careers in big agencies, and sometimes with big agencies comes a lot of process that you can hide behind and that can stifle creativity, big budgets as well that can
totally god
up. Yes, you know this, Philippa, more than anyone. You know, that just don't demand that people think differently. And I've always looked for people that enjoy working around those constraints in a way, rather than relying on them to just get them through from one project to another. So I guess the things that I look for haven't changed, but I think I've really understood the critical importance of those characteristics of flexibility, agility, entrepreneurialism, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's
interesting. And I think the other thing is about leaders who can create followership, because you're not really a leader if no one's following you.
Mm-hmm.
And looking after your people is kind of the only thing really when it boils down to, is looking after your people. And again, that's just been brought to the fore through COVID, where people have had to deal with so much at the same time as trying to work, that I think if you can look after them and keep them happy and motivated and sane, then you'll get much better outcomes.
Yeah, it's so great to listen to. It's funny. I don't know if you know, I think, you do know this, because with the Thai program, which we'll talk about in a sec, but we have a lot of it's housed on a portal. And each week, individuals will get a video from me just to kind of welcome them to that week and key things to think about that week. And their resources are on the portal. And then of course, there's the live stuff as well. But that's just a nice kind of welcome to that week. And so I've actually been re-recording all of the videos, just because we've had so many projects since when I first set this up, and there's a lot of learnings. And I finished recording the last one yesterday, and it's funny just listening to you talk, because I was sort of wrapping up everything, and I won't give too much away for people to listen who own it, but I do talk about, you know, how necessity is the mother of invention. Also how it's funny, because you work with such tight resources on Thai. So human resources, financial resources, time resources, you know, there's a timeline. And I think I haven't worked in advertising in a while, but anyway, I still consider myself an Adland person. Mm-hmm. So in our industry, we are used to big budgets, certain processes, certain ways of doing things. But what I have found is through the Thai process and really actually being forced to work with very little, people realize just what is possible with a whole lot less. And it's amazing how much I have heard on the back end, how many people have said, you know what, I remember actually there was somebody from Wieden & Kennedy, and she's a designer, and she was responsible for it was a photo shoot for a makeup brand. And she said, I showed up and one person was sick. They didn't manage to make it for building the set. And also the money suddenly got slashed, and everyone was on this set and had arrived. And the first, you know, response everyone had was, this is impossible. Sorry, this is impossible. And she said, well, it can't be impossible, because we're here, we're paying for this space, and we need to make it work. And she said, it's so funny because I had just been through the Thai program, I looked at this and I was like, it's so funny. I think before I might have joined that bandwagon and said, that's not possible. But she said, you guys have literally no idea what we managed to pull off with like a fraction of this amount of money. We will make this happen. She said, we did. And it was amazing. And she said, it's so funny because I see the world differently just because of what I saw was possible. And anyway, so it's just really nice to listen to that, because it'll be interesting to hear what what the participants who are involved with Leo Burnett say at the end of this, because this is a big part of what we try and drive them.
Yeah, I really hope that they take something from that into their, you know, day jobs. I probably should have mentioned this up front, but I had a startup about 10 years ago, over 10 years ago now. It was a failed startup. It never fully got off the ground. But that was completely bootstrapped. So every penny that we spent on the business, was coming out of our pockets. And it was a dress rental website, and there's loads of them now. They're all doing really well, but this is probably a little bit ahead of its time. And we found a photographer who was like a junior at ASOS, I think. So he wasn't even a proper photographer, but he'd learned, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. I asked, I was at BBH at the time, and I asked him if I could use the office at the weekend as our studio, which obviously didn't cost us anything. And, you know, we were just really savvy, I guess, and really just had to think outside the box about how we could create this brand and get this website up and running for very little money. And that for me was a real lesson in entrepreneurialism. And although it didn't work, I learned so much that I've now taken into obviously my day job. And I think clients really appreciate it when you can think more creatively about their challenges, and totally. Whether it's financial or any, you know, anything else, you know, how can they deliver this idea with the resources they've got? That kind of thing.
So, I couldn't agree more. And I also think with the ad client relationship, it's, you know, it tends to be, you know, here's our brief, this is what we want. And then, you know, people go off and do it. And another thing that we talk a lot about at Thai is, it needs to be a conversation. You can be part of that conversation. You know, your client will adore you if you can also come up with other ideas, other solutions. Yeah. What are some other ways of doing it? Oh, have you thought about this? Oh, I'm aware of these, you know, what's going on, and how about thinking this way? And I think, again, I agree. It's that entrepreneurialism is so important to kind of be a partner in the process, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, you know, just, you might have covered this off, but I'm just keen to know if there's anything over and above what you've said. But, you know, are there any opportunities that COVID for you has unearthed in your world? I mean, do you see, obviously, there's a lot of dire, horrible stuff from COVID. I get that. But at the same time, I personally, I thank a lot of what has happened for where even my business has got to as a result. And I think there's always a silver lining. I am an optimist. I'm definitely more an optimist than a pessimist. So I definitely tend to see the silver lining. But I imagine a lot of businesses feel the same way as well. You know, what opportunities have unearthed for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely been some good stuff to take out of this. I mean, I think the obvious thing is how we work and where we work. So that flexibility that people were always looking for and talking about has happened. You know, we now work in a really flexible way. There is no question in anyone's mind about whether or not people can work effectively from home. And I think that will disproportionately benefit women, which is a really positive thing. Women who were previously, you know, having to leave the office at 2 o'clock to do the school run, that kind of thing. I think the ability to just be at home and be closer to the family will make a massive difference and will hopefully, you know, keep really talented women in this industry for longer.
Yeah.
So that's been a really positive thing. And I think connected to that, being able to work with people outside of London and talent from outside of London, which has been a real challenge for the industry in the past. We now know that, you know, we could hire people who are based outside of London who don't necessarily want to or can, for whatever reason, live in London. And I think there's so much talent that's been untapped up until now.
That's fascinating.
So that's a huge opportunity. Great. Yeah. So I think from a sort of ways of working and talent perspective, there's lots there. And then I think looking at more broadly at clients, I just think the acceleration of digital products and services is transforming lots of their businesses. And as partners, that will bring new creative and commercial opportunities into our business. So, you know, McDonald's has weathered the COVID storm quite well because of delivery, you know, and being able to keep the restaurants open even when they're people couldn't dine in, but they could still serve their customers. So I think all of these trends that are accelerating will just be really exciting for businesses and brands moving forwards.
Do you have a lesson that you've learned while navigating the COVID crisis?
Don't book a holiday.
Yeah, right.
So we're just in the UK at the moment. There's all these traffic light systems of what country you can and can't travel to, and it's just chaos. So, the truth is, you know, that point that we made earlier about certainty, there is just no such thing. And even if I think back to this time last year, we thought we'd all be back in the office by last September. And everyone was planning, frantically planning return to office. And here we still are nearly a year later, with none of that in sight. So yeah, I think being agile and being open-minded to different potential, different outcomes, has really landed with me, because we've never had this much volatility before. And that's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Carly, I am so grateful and excited that Leo Burnett is trusting Ty again to develop their leaders and embed more purpose at the agency. For our listeners, I don't know if you will know this, but our first ever Ty project was with Leo Burnett in 2007. So a bit of a shout out to Chris Jackson, Helen Dougherty, Bruce Haynes. I mean, they were the ones back in the day that... you know, made that happen. And it was a, you know, of course, then it was physically sending people to another part of the world. Chris went to Brazil. It was a big, I mean, it's a huge trust in me, which I'm still so grateful. And since then, we've sent numerous leaders on the Thai program. And I just, it means the world to me that we're continuing this partnership. So, I mean, this just, thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I'm, you know, I'm also just really excited because it is such a great fit with Leo Burnett. Everything that you stand for, everything you've talked about today, it just couldn't be more fitting. You know, and we're all about turning gifted professionals into game changers and helping to create better companies, better brands, with better people, and to create a better world. For our listeners who maybe aren't really sure how this is working, I mean, obviously, they've probably heard me talking about Thai Accelerator. This is very similar, but it's for corporate. So, I mean, it's six leaders coming together from around the business, so around Leo Burnett London. They will work together to crack a real challenge facing a children's rights organization in India. So obviously, it's incredibly timely. They're going to have 6 weeks to work it's about 2 hours a day, and they're going to be forced to innovate, think differently, be pushed out of their comfort zones, out of their silos, all the stuff we're talking about, be forced to kind of work with limited resources. And, you know, whilst all of that's happening, obviously grow into more empathetic, flexible, worldly leaders, but also making a huge difference to a group of people that really need their help. So I'm keen to know, I obviously am incredibly passionate about it, but of course I am. I've been doing this for a really long time, but I'm just keen to know, you know, can you tell me what resonated with you and Charlie just about this opportunity, and, you know, why is Leo Burnett getting involved? And I just would love to know what you hope to get out of it.
Yeah. So Leo Burnett is an agency that is proudly populist. That's our proposition, is about populist creativity. And it's about working with brands that appeal to the mainstream and make the good stuff in life accessible to everyone. So whether that's McDonald's giving everyone access to tasty, good value food, Premier Inn, you know, being making sort of reliable, clean, good quality accommodation accessible to everyone. It's about making the good stuff in life accessible. And that's become our agency's purpose, as it were. And that really applies to our people as well. We want to give all of our people access to experiences that will challenge them, that will stretch them and grow them. And obviously, the brilliant thing about Thai is we can do that for our people whilst at the same time, you know, making the good things in life accessible to people in other parts of the world through the organizations that they support. So it just felt like a really brilliant expression of our purpose that we'd be able to give our people an experience of, whilst they in turn can pass that experience on to people in another part of the world. So just a really brilliant expression of everything we're about, really.
Yeah, really cool. Well, I'm looking for, I mean, as I say, obviously, I got introduced to everybody yesterday. So we've got six amazing creative. There's so many creatives and designer and strategist. I'm super excited for things to kick off, which obviously will be on Monday. So we'll keep you in the loop, of course, as things evolve. Now, Carly, you're obviously busy. You've got a lot going on with your family and work and, you know, everything happening. As we're wrapping up the podcast, we're coming to the end, but I'm just wondering, you know, what are you working on at the moment? Or what can you tell our listeners perhaps that I haven't asked you? What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, lots of stuff going on. I think I've touched on things like diversity and mental health, and they're really important, you know, pillars of our sort of plan for this year. But I think the thing that I'm most excited about is I'm making lots of apps. I'm making lots of work at the moment and sort of getting back to the heart of what we do. You know, Leah Burnett won a lot of lovely new clients at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And we're now just sort of getting past that pitch phase and at the point where we're actually sort of making work for them. So it's lovely to just be back at the heart of that creative process. And partnering with clients to kind of support them on their path to growth. So that's the thing that I'm excited about at the moment, and that I'm up to and focusing on, which is what it's all about, really.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Well, that must be a wonderful feeling. Definitely different to this time last year. So I'm thrilled to hear that. Well, Carly, thank you so much for joining me. It's just been really amazing to connect. As I say, I'm really excited about what the next 6 weeks have in store for all of us. I really appreciate everything. A shout out to Charlie as well. Thank you, Charlie. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you, Philippa. Take care.
Take care, Carly.
See you.
Bye. Hey, everyone. This is Philippa again. So this is your chance to get involved with Tai. We have three absolutely amazing virtual opportunities available, all rooted in connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Tai has never been more necessary than right now. So if you're looking for life-changing leadership development opportunities for your employees and you want your company to impact the world, we've got you covered. If you're looking to step out of your comfort zone and use your skills to make a difference and keen to meet other like-minded professionals with similar values, then our Tai Accelerator program is for you. There are so many options, so I urge you to get in touch. Go to theinternationalexchange.co.uk for more information or just shoot us an email. Better companies, better leaders, better world.